Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
On Saturday, the medical director of the NFL Players Association released a statement which read in part, quote, "Please be advised that it is our consensus medical opinion that in light of the increase in COVID-19 cases in certain states, that no players should be engaged in practicing together in private workouts. Our goal is to have all players and your families as healthy as possible in the coming months." End quote. All right, so again, the NFLPA. COVID cases are rising in certain states. Players should not be working out together. It seems like a pretty simple, straightforward message, right? One of the states that has seen an increase in COVID cases is Florida, where the cases, frankly, have gone right through the roof in the past week. That also happens to be the state where at least two Tampa Bay Buccaneer players and an assistant coach have tested positive. Florida is also the state where Bucs head coach Bruce Arians recorded a message for the community on steps to take to be safe.
Bruce Arians here with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. During these difficult times, it's important that we all show we care about our community's health. You could spread COVID-19 without knowing it. Wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance from each other, stay strong, and go Bucs.
All right, so the head coach of the Bucs with that public service announcement in the state of Florida. And in Florida, that happens to be the same state where Tom Brady is now going to be playing and where he's working out with other players multiple times this week and then dropping messages on Instagram about it. Tuesday, he had at least a dozen players working out with him, and they were not keeping their distance from one another. Afterwards, he posted a pic of himself with Rob Gronkowski and the message, quote, "No excuses." Dang, what a badass. Man, this dude is so cool. This dude is so hard. This dude is so tough. Yeah, but just so we're clear about this, the Bucs have already had multiple members of the team test positive, and this dope is getting guys together to breathe and sweat on each other. Understandably, he took heat for it. You're working out in a group in a state where the virus is exploding. You're working in a group when your own Players Association advised you to do just the opposite. Maybe you dial it down for just a moment. After all, a group of 49ers players worked out together in Nashville last week. One of them ended up testing positive. But not only does Brady not dial it down, he doubles down. He ramps it up. He worked out again yesterday morning. Again with at least a dozen guys. Again, he jumped on Instagram. And this time, it was a photo of himself drinking from a water bottle with the message, quote, "Only thing we have to fear is fear itself, FDR," end quote. Man, there is so much idiot in that post. I don't even know where to start. First, there's nothing more hack than taking a dramatic quote and slamming it down over a pic of yourself drinking water during a workout. Secondly, is that message really directed at people who have been critical of what you've been doing during a global pandemic? Man, tell me that's not what that is. Tell me it's just an insanely dumb idea from you that everybody else has gotten twisted and is misinterpreting. Then again, everything we're told about this guy is that he's really smart, not really dumb. That he's really calculating, that he thinks everything through before he does it. So if you really are that smart, and you really are that calculating, and you know everything down to the smallest detail, let me ask you this. Are you really going with "the only thing we have to fear is fear itself" when more than 120,000 people have died from COVID in this country? Are you really freaking going with that? Like, hey, I know more than 100,000 people are dead from this virus, and it's currently spiking right in my own neighborhood, but come on outside. Let's get a group of guys together, and let's just breathe all over each other. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You should not be afraid of the virus. You should be afraid of fear. Don't be afraid of a killer virus. Be afraid of being afraid. Man, if this guy really is going with that asinine post to flip the finger at medical experts, Man, he really is colossally arrogant and genuinely stupid. This is not just about the guy who was oh so hilarious about allegedly being in a park earlier in the epidemic when he shouldn't have been. And it's not about the guy who showed up at his offensive coordinator's house to allegedly just pick up a playbook, but in reality had bags with him and probably wasn't just swinging by to pick up a playbook that could have been couriered to him or more realistically, emailed to him in a file. This is not about a guy being an envelope pusher when it comes to what is and what is not allowed, all in the name of wanting to improve and win. No, this is about a guy continuing to hold group workouts in the middle of a hot zone, in the middle of a global pandemic, and then posting lame successory quotes about it to his Instagram feed. Listen, I've been willing to give this guy and his health and fitness methods something of a pass because he's playing at a high level into his 40s, like the avocado ice cream, the avoiding of nightshades. I mean, it might have some validity. Man, but this is beyond idiotic. Not that anybody should be taking health advice from a guy who believes that drinking water prevents sunburns. But you want to be a role model when it comes to health. I mean, that's that guy's lifestyle. That's his brand. That's what he's selling to all of you. You want people to buy into some of the crap that you're selling with TB12. You want people to throw down for that cookbook and whatever other garbage you're pushing. You want to lead from the front. You want to be a role model. All right, go ahead. Be a freaking role model. Shut it down. Don't have workouts during a global pandemic and then post about it on Instagram and act like if the rest of us aren't running around doing whatever the hell we want during the pandemic, it's because we're afraid, because we're cowards. And yes, he's not the only player working out in a group. But it sure seems like he's the only guy doing it and essentially saying F you to everybody advising against it. Like those moronic spring breakers seem like rocket scientists compared to this guy. And I'm not saying that he or somebody in that group is going to test positive, but how many people are going to see that post and think, yeah, you know what? He's right. The only thing to fear is fear. And then they go out and they get sick or they get somebody else sick. So is it arrogance or ignorance? The answer, of course, is yes. It's a global pandemic that's spiking in your backyard. Be a leader, moron. He is Mark Kriegel. Mark, it is great to have you back. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate that.
Good to talk to you, Brother Mark, always. Mm-hmm. Now, you covered, let me start here. You covered the Jason Maloney-Leonardo Baez fight last night. I'll start there. What did you make of what you saw from Maloney, Mark?
I've never seen twins fight twins. I thought it was a great fight. The kid showed why people wanted to see him here. He was fighting two nights after his brother got sent to the hospital, his twin. Both the Maloneys, Andrew and Jason, came over here mid-May. And they knew they wanted to fight in the States. They knew they wanted to make a statement, but they got out of Australia with no fight schedule. The town was shut down. The sport was still shut down. They just figured, you know, we're gonna place our bet here in Vegas. You know, one guy gets taken out, goes to the hospital, and the other guy wins a dramatic TKO. And we both saw what was good about them. I think that the difference between the brother who lost and the brother who won was the undefeated record. The brother who lost came in undefeated. The brother who won, Jason, last night, who was really technically sound and powerful, he had the benefit of a loss a couple of years ago to Emmanuel Rodriguez in a really hard fight. And he learned something from that. He told me before the fight, I really want to show I've gotten better from that. I've learned from that. To me, that's the single biggest lesson you can have in boxing, losing. And the biggest difference between boxing and MMA, what boxing could actually learn from MMA, and none of the boxing people really want to hear this, is that a perfect record doesn't mean you're a perfect fighter. Most of the time, it means you haven't been challenged enough. And I think that boxing's reliance on the perfect record as a marketing tool has hurt it. You know, none of the great fighters of the past, with very few exceptions, had perfect records. And it doesn't hurt the MMA guys. It shouldn't hurt the boxers.
I think that's a great point, and especially in MMA where everybody loses at some point. You're exactly right. You don't need a perfect record.
Mealtime. It's coming. So what's it going to be today? Gas station hot dog? Frozen microwave mini meal? Soup from an envelope? Or are you ready for something uncommonly delicious, like the famous Hook and Ladder Sub from Firehouse Subs? The Hook and Ladder is one of our most popular subs, for good reason. We start by piling your sub high with freshly sliced smoked turkey breast and Virginia honey ham. Then we top it with melted Monterey Jack. And then, oh man, it's served piping hot in a perfectly toasted roll. This is no ordinary sub. This is the melt-in-your-mouth meaty masterpiece. The Hook and Ladder from Firehouse Subs. Save time and order yours on the Firehouse Subs app or on firehousesubs.com, and we'll have it hot and ready to go at our rapid rescue to go area inside Firehouse Subs. This is no ordinary sub shop. This is Firehouse Subs.
Welcome to Firehouse.
Enjoy more subs. Save more lives.
We're talking to Mark Kriegel. You know, Mark, since you mentioned MMA, over the weekend in the UFC, there was a really ugly image of a fighter saying between rounds that he wanted to have the fight called, and his coach continued to try to talk him into continuing the fight. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because of the role Mark the Corner plays and the stakes in which are involved in both boxing and MMA. You write about that in The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. For those who do not know, what was Mancini like as a person growing up and throughout his life before that Duke Koo Kim fight?
No, he was the all American kid. That's how he was marketed, and he was marketed in an age where it was really just network TV. So for the early '80s, there's a moment in time where like people look at him as the real Rocky. And as soon as Duke Koo Kim dies, he becomes a pariah. And that haunted him for years. But you mentioned the relationship with the corner. I mean, it's complicated. You have I don't know what happened between Kim and his corner, but he made a whole speech about being willing to die. And it spooked Mancini before the fight. That trainer fighter relationship is like nothing else. And in that respect, it's the same in boxing as it is in MMA. You're trusting a guy with everything, and you're going to wind up with trainers who are saviors and beautiful people, a lot of them. And you're going to wind up with some trainers who are bloodsuckers. You thought it was a disturbing moment. I thought it was a kind of poetic moment. I just watched the clip of Roshkoff saying I want to go and I want to be out of this, and his trainer telling him no, you're a champ, stay. And I thought it was it's poetic. Look, that's the moment where you're seeing what's in his soul. You're seeing him saying, I've had enough. Now, he's got to live with that. It's tough for him. But this is why combat sports are intrinsically more dramatic than just like games. You can't see that stuff anywhere else. He's telling you, I've had enough. Did the trainer do the right thing? I don't know. Roshkoff says, my trainer did. That's why I paid him. We had a fight last year with Buddy McGirt. Begged his fighter, Maxim Dadashev, to allow him to call off the fight. Dadashev eventually said okay, and he still passed away after. So it's there's not a diagram how to do that stuff. It's a feel, and you're trusting your corner with your future, your soul, your self-respect, everything. It's not like a normal relationship. It's not like just a coach.
No, and
sorry to go off on that tangent, but
I was going to say, Mark, the coach in that case said, I was just doing my job. You know, it's my job to get as much as I possibly can out of my fighter. I understand that. I see that. And when him saying, hey, you're a champ, that's fine, except that the fighter said 9 different times, I don't want to go. I think if he says 9 times he doesn't want to go, you take him at his word.
I agree with you. He was submitting, and he should have been allowed to submit. You can take all that motivation stuff only so far, and, you know, the fighter says, oh, don't blame my trainer after the fact. If you're Bob Bennett of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and you let that thing go on after the fighter wants out and something happens, well, woe be to you, man, especially in this litigious society where we're consumed with assigning blame. I don't see how you keep that one going on.
No, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Mark Kriegel is joining us. Mark, before I let you go, I want your thoughts on Shakur Stevenson. I had him on a few weeks back before his fight in boxing's return. There is so much hype surrounding him. How much did he show you with his performance that night?
Look, it wasn't like the greatest test in the world, and it was more a test of us and of boxing trying to get back. I can't say it was much more than an exhibition for Shakur. And I think he's enormously talented. I'd love for him to go up to 130 pounds and fight a guy we'll see tomorrow night in Mexico, Miguel Burchell. These guys have to be tested. If they're really going to be legends, you know, apart from the hype that we give them, they need to be tested, and they need to be tested by completely opposite styles. So Burchelt is bigger, he's longer, he's ferocious, Mexican fighter, and Shakur is maybe the great defensive fighter of his generation. I don't know, but it articulates such a perfect contrast in styles. I'd really, really like to see it.
Really quickly, you're right. That was not the stiffest test in terms of competition. He is a great defensive fighter. Did he show you anything offensively that you had not seen, especially in the way he was putting together his combinations?
I think that this whole idea that Shakur can't hit and that he hasn't found his man strength is borders on BS. You can see him filling out. He is what he will be. He'll be a better puncher than he's alleged to be now. He's a very deliberate fighter. I did a piece on him to start it off, just to start the boxing's back stuff. And at this juncture in their careers, he is hit less than Mayweather. Mm. And the level of competition isn't really discernibly different at this point. Now, I'm not saying that he will be Mayweather. Mayweather had more power, had a better right hand. But let's see. I mean, he's a really interesting fighter, but the only way to have an epic career, which is what he wants, is to fight an epic fight.
Hey, listen up. When you're working from home or you're working on your fitness, you want to make sure that what you're listening to is what you're listening to and not what your roommates or neighbors or a significant other or kids are listening to. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of bucks on a pair, make sure you check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Now, you already know that Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, but they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands that you know of. Now, check this. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. They're amazing. And they're so comfortable, they're perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts. All those things together, plus the price and the value, make them a game changer for me. And unlike some of the other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. There are no dangling wires or stems to distract anybody during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, J.R. Smith, Melissa Etheridge. They're all obsessed with their Raycons. Pick up a pair, find out what the hype's all about. Now is the time to get the latest and the greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Rome. Again, buyraycon.com/Rome. Get 15% off. I've got my pair. Get yours. Buyraycon.com/Rome. And that's in reference to Smokin' Jay Cutler taking to Instagram stories and bringing the entire world into a real-time murder investigation. It was 2 days ago that Cuddy woke up in his Nashville farmhouse and noticed that his flock of chickens had been severely thinned. And he grabbed his blower to let everybody know about it. And then he laid out a suspect list. It included a bobcat, a coyote, and Thelma, the savage house cat. You know, the one with the loose morals.
Thelma over there is a savage with loose morals.
Thelma over there is a savage with loose morals. So the guy sets up an overnight camera from a treehouse. He determines then, yesterday, that Thelma was no longer an animal of interest. She had an alibi. She was released from Cuddy custody. No lie detector test, nothing like that. But still, she may have been off the hook, but the real killer was still out there. Enter day two of the manhunt. Enter day two of my coverage of the manhunt. Rest assured, as long as Detective Cuddy is on the case, Van Smack is on the topic. And let's just say things escalated. And escalated quickly yesterday. Let's get right to it. Remember from Thursday that Jay Cuddy has a chicken guy. Again, not a car guy, not a watch guy, but a chicken guy. And that chicken guy came back for a second time after yesterday's program and dropped off an alpha male rooster named Blue, who Cuddy immediately became fascinated with.
Oh, Blue's here. He's got those crazy eyes. Blue has a sidekick. Didn't know about it. Kind of a last minute addition. I'm told he's a free spirit, whatever that means. But he's Blue's sidekick, hangs out with him. Probably tells him he's the man. He's a little guy though, big heart. We'll see how tonight goes. We don't know what's out there. We've never seen Blue tested, so hopefully he's up for the challenge.
Man, this dude, there is so much gold in the clips that Cutler posts. Did you catch the perfect comedic timing of that sidekick chicken who started crowing right when Cutler referred to him as a free spirit?
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Right, first of all, that's not Alvin dropping in sound. He didn't produce that. Like, that chicken, that sidekick, that chicken wingman was right on cue. As soon as Cuddy said he's a free spirit, he started to pipe in.
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit.
Bam.
Whatever that means.
What that means is the chicken is going to start popping off and talking chicken junk right in the middle of you describing him being a free spirit, Cuddy. That's what that means. So a few hours pass before Cuddy posts again, and everybody's hitting refresh, and everybody's waiting and watching. And finally, he feeds the beast. The next update was classic. And I wish you could see this. But just imagine Cutler sitting in a kid's treehouse with a professional pair of high-grade night vision goggles attached to his head. Oh, and then he recruited a neighbor to the stakeout. Because why sit in a tree fort all alone watching chickens when you can have a winger?
All right, guys. Obviously, things have escalated. Old Blue's in the coop with a sidekick. We feel good about him. Just don't want him to have a bad night. So backup is me and Mark, my neighbor. We got some night vision goggles from our buddy. So we're going to sit here and make sure that Old Blue's got a... I heard something. Make sure Old Blue has a good night tonight. And whatever happens, happens, you know?
I don't mean to be a bag or a Delta Bravo. I live in a neighborhood with some athletes. I live in a neighborhood with some, you know, public figures. Man, I would give anything for Jay Cutler to move into my neighborhood. In fact, if that's not going to happen, I may have to move into his neighborhood. I mean, imagine for a second that you had finished up dinner on a Thursday night and you get a knock on the door and you open up that door and a former NFL quarterback turned reality TV superstar turned single dad is not only knocking on your door, but asking you to come over and sit in his kid's treehouse to stake out a chicken killer. Best neighbor moment ever. Best life moment ever. And then said former quarterback is also wearing a pair of military-grade night vision goggles on his head. How freaking fast are you grabbing for your jacket and running out that door to follow him back to the tree fort? Now, unfortunately for Cuddy and Mark, they didn't get any action on their first watch. So the next update was from inside the kitchen.
All right, just climbed down from the kids' treehouse to a little break. Had a coyote skirt by it, maybe like 8:45, just kind of cruising by. We had a call out, so he just kind of reacting to that. Going to get a quick bite to eat, some water, fuel back up, then head back out. I think whatever's hitting them is probably well after midnight. So late night, check the coop, all secure. Big Blue literally wanted to fight me as soon as I peeked in, so felt good about that. His sidekick was acting all crazy too, so I think we're in good hands. Hopefully get some action. We'll see it though. Stay tuned.
Wonder when that sidekick gets a name. He's got Blue. It's just Blue and the crazy sidekick. But again, you got to pay really close attention to everything this legend is saying, or you're going to miss something. This guy is so good, and so smooth that if you don't listen really carefully, you'll miss something. For instance, did you catch that part where he said he had a call out to a coyote?
Had a coyote skirt by it, maybe like 8:45, just kind of cruising by. We had a call out, so he just kind of reacting to that.
Sidebar on coyotes. In my neighborhood also, we have coyotes. I live in the hills. And man, there is nothing more horrific than when they get their score, right, at night. And I'm like, right, and then there's so many of them. And they're all calling out to each other for the kill. And I'm like, damn, where's Cody the ragdoll cat? Luckily, I never let him out unless he's with me. Generally on Friday at happy hour. Cody and I like to get our cocktail on. Anyway, Jay Cutler, who used to play quarterback on Sundays, is now in a kid's treehouse with Mark, his neighbor, riffing on coyote calls, which, if you didn't know, sounds like this. That's better than the kill and the sound they all make when they all rally around whoever's cat they got. What an awesome visual. And you heard it in the last update. He thinks whatever is killing his chickens is coming back after midnight. So naturally, Cuddy stayed on the job because the hell else does he have to do besides chain smoke lung darts? Here is his latest post from this morning.
Morning. That's the sidekick. No culprit last night, which is okay. Stayed up way too late. Super tired this morning. But Old Blue's going to be on the case for me today. He'll take over the shift. Got something cool, though, happening. My friends at Christensen Arms want to get in the mix. I'm going to add a link where you can guess who the culprit is and get a chance to win one of their cool rifles. So I'm going to add that today at some point. In the meantime, Old Blue's doing it. He's on the watch. Hopefully I can get a nap in at some point and get ready for tonight because he's out there somewhere. Culprit is. Saga continues. Stay tuned. This guy.
This guy's right, Cuddy. That guy. You. Both of you. A content killer. Cuddy is a godsend. My man's already got a sponsor. A sponsor for his chicken murder investigation. This guy's been Instagramming for all of 2 days, and he's already got corporate involvement. A freaking rifle company is doing a giveaway. Correctly guess what or who is killing Cuddy's chickens and win a hunting rifle. Man, somewhere his ex-wife has got to be smiling that her former man has turned a bit of reality content into a marketing opportunity. She's got to be so proud and so jealous and so pissed. The only difference here is that Cuddy's Instagram show is actually entertaining and compelling and worth watching, and people care about it and people react to it. I also love that Cuddy's day includes three things, like every day apparently: talking to barn animals, taking a nap, and getting back to Instagram for day three of the hunt. Talking to farm animals, napping it out, and then knocking out his stories for Instagram for the hunt. Man, what a life. No wonder this dude does not want to take a job in broadcasting. He already is living the dream. And people are reacting. And not just me. People way more important than me. Celebrities like Carrie Underwood, Josh McCown, Zach Miller are commenting on every single post. And they make up just a small sample of blue check marks who are checking in frequently on Detective Cuddy's murder mystery. This guy's got the whole world watching. And he's crushing it. He hasn't even found the killer, and he's crushing it. His latest post is a wanted ad with a silhouette of a coyote that reads, "Wanted for the murder of Jay Cutler's chickens. Reward, a Ranger 22 rifle and $1,000 cash. Hashtag save Jay's chickens." There may not be sports on TV other than UFC and Fist Night. But right now, do we really need anything other than that? When Cuddy is dropping perfect content like this?
Stay tuned. This guy.
That's the update. I love how he talked about how the sidekick, he introduced us to the sidekick, is kind of a free spirit. Whenever he references the sidekick or is about to reference the sidekick just pipes in.
Blue has a sidekick. I'm told he's a free spirit, whatever that means.
And then the sidekick is settled in, man. When Cuddy wakes up with a morning update, the sidekick is waiting for him.
Morning. That's the sidekick.
Good morning. And the sidekick went.
Stay tuned. This guy.
This guy's the best. The sidekick and Cuddy. Cuddy's like the only good thing about 2020. Cuddy's like the only great thing about 2020. This year has sucked so badly. But not Cuddy. Cuddy's never been better. Cuddy might be the best dude ever. I mean, like, how tired does Cuddy sound? Cuddy sounds like my kids, man. Like my college kid who came home from break, or his younger brother who's always tired. Except Cuddy's 37 and does nothing except hunt for the real killers and nap. Check out the cast of this show. Cuddy, Mark the Neighbor, Old Blue, the sidekick, Thelma the cat, Blake the chicken guy, and the coyote, and the corporate rifle sponsor. What an amazing show that is. Cuddy. I wonder how that pitch went. I wonder if Cuddy was sitting there like just scratching out the one-page treatment for that show, lighting one heater off another. Cuddy is the best. Like I said, this guy's a content godsend. I'm looking for your thoughts and reaction. 1-800-636-8686. This guy is a content killer. Content is king. Cuddy is the king. Thanks, Cuddy. Hey, Rit, where are you at with that? I said if Rit could turn Cuddy. Somebody said, what's old man Rit doing? Why hasn't he booked Cuddy? I said, Cuddy? Cuddy is in higher demand right now than anybody in sports, probably. Probably the best, quote, turn in sports right now would be Jay Cutler. There you go, Rit. They're your marching orders, man. If you can turn Cuddy for the podcast, you can have as much hot chocolate as you want. Finally. I will make that tortured walk to the hot chocolate machine with you every single day if you can get Cuddy. By hosting my radio show, I've learned one thing, if one thing only. There's not one single thing that we can all agree on, except for maybe this. Breakfast cereal rules. Am I right? Especially growing up, like cereal was one of the best parts about being a kid. Except as you grow up, you start to realize, man, maybe it's not the best thing. It was when I was a kid, but not anymore, because now I know that cereal is good because it's loaded with sugar and junk that I should not be pounding. Like many of you, I've tried to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy grub. I mean, like I know now, I can't just eat what I want when I want. Which brings me back to Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon is what I want and what I need. Check these numbers out. Zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. Check out these 4 flavors. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. All of it is amazing. In fact, it tastes too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. In other words, all the good stuff. I love it. Myself, I've been hammering the frosted. That's my go-to. And then blueberry. Speaking of go-to, go to magicspoon.com/Rome. Grab a variety pack, try it for yourself. Be sure to use our promo code Rome at checkout to get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, and you will, but if you don't, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Magicspoon.com/Rome. Use the code Rome for free shipping. Magicspoon.com/Rome. I am pumped that Magic Spoon is a part of this podcast. Amy Trask. Amy, it is so good to have you back. There is a lot to talk about, Amy, but before we get into any of this, how are you and everybody around you doing, Amy, in this most unusual of times?
Unusual is a good word to use. I often use surreal. We are well. Thank you for asking. I hope that you and yours are well as well, and I am not overstating this when I tell you, when I get to join you on your show, I am like a teenage girl around her movie star crush. Not that I'm stalking you. Not that I'm going to be creepy with you. I'm just that excited.
You're silly, Amy. Amy Trask is joining us, and I appreciate you saying that very much. And the feeling is quite mutual. It is always great to have you on the show, Amy, and to hear your voice. Now, you've been around the NFL for a long time, and you mentioned that it's surreal, it's unusual. Have you ever seen anything that would approach or approximate the offseason that we've had, the way it's been impacted by the pandemic? Is there anything that even compares to this?
Nothing, absolutely nothing during my years in the league. Now, of course, I wasn't in the league during a wartime or anything of that nature. And yes, I know that succinctly, no, not during my years in the league.
All right, so Amy, as the CEO of a football team, what would be your number one priority throughout an offseason like this one?
Protecting all who are involved with the organization, protecting the fans, doing all I could to keep everyone safe and sound.
We are talking to Amy Trask. You know, Amy, as you write, there is unlikely to be a vaccine or a universally effective therapeutic by the time NFL camps are scheduled to open up next month. So if camps go ahead, it seems reasonable to expect that there are going to be modifications. Why don't we start with the creation of distancing in the locker room and around the facility? How will teams go about doing that?
Well, Jim, it's far more than the locker room, as you just referenced. It's throughout the facility. People are focused on the locker room, but there's the locker room, the shower areas, the training room, equipment areas, meeting rooms, film rooms, breakout rooms, areas where the players are eating. There's usually a buffet breakfast, a buffet lunch. There are smoothie bars. And yes, I know they're really protein shake bars, but I used to call them smoothie bars.
Right.
There are umpteen places in the facility that require some distancing, as the league is indicating it will require, not just locker rooms. Now, look, a lot of this can be handled. Locker rooms that aren't big enough to accommodate the distancing the league wishes can be supplemented with temporary locker facilities. Tents can be erected in parking lots, on the sidelines, outside practice fields. There can be accommodations, but they will have to be made.
Amy Trask, NFL analyst for CBS Sports, is joining us. You know, maybe you make those allowances, maybe you work your way through it, but Amy, what about the field itself? As an example, there's a story from shortly after you started in the league. You were on the sideline of a practice. The play was coming towards you, and some team partners said, football is a contact sport. A player said, quote, no, Amy, it's a collision sport. So knowing that, how in the world do you create distance on a football field during practice?
You cannot create distance. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen are inches apart. And if a defensive lineman is in the neutral zone, and I won't even get started on that right now, he's even closer to the offensive lineman. A man coverage corner is going to be on top of a receiver. One hopes if he's playing man well. So you cannot distance. What the league is looking into is the ability to create some sort of a larger, bigger protective shield to go in the front of helmets. Right now, we've all seen that there can be shields that go down to about nose level. Players need to get permission to use those. The league is evaluating whether or not there can be some sort of shielding that covers the entire face. I don't know how that will work.
Amy Trask is expertly breaking this down for us. She's an NFL analyst for CBS Sports, nearly 30 years as an executive with the Oakland Raiders. So, Amy, the expectation is there will be frequent testing as well as temperature checks for players. But at the same time, you know players often do not acknowledge injuries or illnesses when they're competing for jobs. So how do you eliminate the risk that somebody fighting for a job is still going to speak up if they do have symptoms?
Jim, that's a phenomenal point, and there's two issues with that. There's number one, the player who won't speak up if he's experiencing symptoms, because that's the mentality of players. I'm fighting for a job. I'm fighting for a roster spot. I'm good to go, coach. I'm good to go. Players are trained over many years to ignore or set aside or not acknowledge that they're not 100%. So there will be those who fall into that. But there's also going to be people who don't realize they're experiencing symptoms, because so much of what is done to accommodate for the injuries and the banging and the bumps and the bruises sustained during practice at camp, the medication taken, you know, even if it's as simple as ibuprofen, and we all know it's stronger than that in many cases, will mask those symptoms. So there may be a player who would speak out of concern for his teammates and say, hey, I feel like I have a fever, or hey, I have these symptoms, that won't even be experiencing those symptoms because of the medication being taken to address on-field injuries.
Such a good point. Amy Trask is joining us. You've also coined the term, Amy, in-bubbled. What does that term mean?
I'm so proud of that, Jim. I actually invented a word that is now in the Urban Dictionary.
I
walked into the room where my husband was sitting when that happened, dropped the mic, and went straight to the freezer and made myself the biggest ice cream sundae. And I have called every one of my nieces and nephews and said, your aunt is in the Urban Dictionary.
That's the best.
In-bubbled is the word I'm using for the concept of placing teams or placing a league in a bubble, as is being contemplated by other sports. I explained in an article for The Athletic that I don't think that's feasible when it comes to the NFL because of the sheer magnitude of people that would have to be in bubbles.
Right. This is not like the NBA. The NBA is attempting to do so, but with much smaller rosters, and even that bubble is permeable. Like, for instance, Amy, take the Orlando Pride of the NWSL. They withdrew from the NWSL Challenge Cup after a group from that team went to a local bar and then tested positive. So in the NFL, what kind of conversations would there be between the league and the Players Association, as well as teams and their players, about what is acceptable or not away from the facility? What would those conversations be like?
That's another fantastic point you make, Jim, because anything that is done has to be agreed upon between the league and the Players Association. They're parties to a collective bargaining agreement. This is governed by the National Labor Relations Board. I mean, they are parties to a labor agreement. And as such, the league cannot unilaterally impose a change in working conditions. It must be agreed upon by the parties. Now, that said, irrespective of whether it must be agreed upon, and it has to be, it should be agreed upon. If ever there is a moment in time where the league and the union should be acting collaboratively and as partners with the best interest of the players and the game at heart, this is it. They need to find a solution together.
Yes, certainly baseball did not do that, but the NFL's got an opportunity to do so. Earlier today, Amy, you tweeted, quote, as the NFL evaluates if and to what extent it can safely have fans this season, it must consider the issue of domes. Some have retractable roofs, a few do not. And if it decides some fans may attend, but not in enclosed stadia, do those teams use alternate sites or exclude fans? Lay that out for me. How big of a concern is that?
I don't know how concerned the league will be with this, but I think it needs to pay attention to it. Let's say the league decides to go forward with X percentage of fans in each stadium, complying, of course, with local rules. So let's say local rules are you can have, you know, 50% of the stadium full, or 30% or 25%, whatever that number is. Well, we're learning that there's a difference between being in an enclosed facility and an outdoor facility. So the league should evaluate whether those same standards should apply to enclosed facilities as to outdoor facilities. And if the league decides, you know what, it's one thing if a dome has a retractable roof, fair enough. But for those few domes that don't have retractable roofs, we don't want any fans at all, or we want far fewer fans. Those teams will then have to decide, do they seek out a college facility or a municipal facility or another facility in their area in which to play? Or do they simply play with less fans or no fans to stay in an enclosed building? And I want to be very careful to note, I'm not a scientist. I don't try to be a scientist. These are things for scientists to figure out. Jim, I barely passed high school chemistry, so I don't know the answer to this. I just know it must be considered.
We are talking to Amy Trask. I appreciate that fact, too. So, Amy, for instance, the Hall of Fame game has been canceled. We know the league is doing its very best to forge ahead, but that game has been canceled, and now we think ahead of the preseason. If there is a reduction in the number of preseason games, how significant would that be in terms of preparation for teams for the season as well as revenue for an organization?
Well, I have thought for a number of years that there should be a reduction in the number of preseason games anyway. So one can look at the silver lining in this and say it's a beta test for reducing the number of preseason games and how that will work. This year, far more complicated because you have to figure out how you're going to travel as a team, what protocols you're going to put in place, how you're going to address being the home team, what you're going to do with visiting team locker rooms, which in many, many, many instances are intentionally designed to be cramped and crowded, because the theory is, and I'm not ratting anyone out, I'm not saying we might have done this, but you don't want to give your visiting team a magnificent locker room. So all of that's going to be worked out. But you know what? There are people in this country and in this world working out bigger problems. It can be figured out if the league decides to push forward.
I mean, one last thought. Like, in big, big picture, it's one thing to say, like, players are taught to play through things, and players know that if their job depends upon that, they're going to play through it and find a way to get on the field. If we look at the league, and believe me, nobody wants this more than me. I really, really want the NFL to return. I host a talk show. I mean, I want this badly. I need this on some level. But, Amy, when you talk about a sport where the entire culture essentially is, we're assuming a certain risk every day when we come to work, and we strap it on, I mean, this is a different breed of human being, right? From those who play the game, those who coach it. How difficult then, if that's the culture of the thing and it's always been like that, how difficult would it be to embrace and understand the risk that comes along with COVID-19 when there's so much assumed risk across the board for the entire sport every day?
Well, you know, your points that you made are spot on, accurate, and all of that. Couple responses. Rosters are very, very varied. You have men on rosters who aren't even 21 yet. We really drafted men who hadn't yet had their 21-year-old, you know, their 21st birthday. And then they span all the way into, as we're now seeing, their 40s. So some men on the rosters will be going home, if there's no bubble, which I don't believe there can be, to families with young children, with older people in the household. They're maybe going home to people with compromised immunity. So I think the analysis may be different in this instance than it normally is. And remember, even if everything you just said holds true across the board, not only with most players, but all players, you've also got coaches to consider and other necessary game day personnel, some of whom are much older. I mean, there are teams now that have over 20 assistant coaches. Tampa Bay has close to 30, and not all of those are young people. So that has to factor in as well.
Excellent, excellent point. She is an NFL analyst for CBS Sports. Again, spent nearly 30 years as an executive with Raiders, the Big Three chairman of the board, and author of You Negotiate Like a Girl. Good friend of the program, Amy Trask. Spot on, as always, Amy. I appreciate you and our friendship. And great to have you back, Amy. I hope I see you soon.
I hope to see you soon, too, and I love joining you. Thanks for having me, and stay well.
Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. Been a nice weekend. I've got a recap of the Smack Off. Do that show on a Friday. We go into the weekend, and there really is no react. So if you want to react to what went down on Friday, now is your first opportunity to do so on the air.
Yeah! My biggest concern, whoever was staying in that hotel room below yours, wondering if the bed Big Sean is making love on is going to come crashing through the ceiling like you're the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah.
Great call. The winning call.
I'm all ears.
So there you have it. Smack Off 2020.
Roll a couple fatties.
The deepest field ever. And it only gets deeper.
You're cut off too, bitch. Bye-bye.
If you want in, this is what you're up against.
We hate you, but it's not legal to kill you.
I'm not saying you shouldn't try. I'm just saying you better be damn good if you do.
You won $5,000. Oh, wait. You live in California where state income tax is so high that it actually makes better financial sense to just not show up.
Guess what?
It's Romo time.
Hey.
Hey.
Romo here.
You brought the wrong Romo. It would have been better if you brought on Tony Romo and he could have predicted how bad your call was going to be.
Dan, you
can't flub your lines while making fun of other people's lines on the Monday after. That call was shakier than Michael J. Fox using Twitch.
Mark and Boston Smackoff call last year was better when he remained on hold for the entire show. He said we'd be sorry, and I was sorry that Hawk put him on.
19 phone calls, Rome, is what you took. And not a single one was ignorant enough to call out Drizzle because they know the score.
Pete Thamel for a few more moments.
To think all 130 college football teams are going to play their allotted 12-game schedule, I think would be a little bit naive, Jim. There's too many complicating factors.
Your hand was almost severed.
Jarrah,
off.
I know you're not asking for my advice. You're going to get it anyway. Sign the deal.
What do you mean?
Do the thing that you could have and should have done a long time ago so we can all keep moving. Ryan Blaney, you and Bubba have been friends for a long time.
We're not doing it for publicity. We're not doing it for anything like that. It's just doing what's right. I'm going to be behind my buddy 100% along the way.
Hey, Jeff in Richmond.
Who wants to walk with Jeff?
It's not who wants to walk with Jeff in Richmond. It's who wants Jeff in Richmond to walk. And the answer is your doctor, because you're fat, Jeff.
Fit your Corona. Fit your Corona. I'm going to drive Brad's car. Bump, bump, bump. Fit your Corona. Fit your Corona. I'm going to drive a real hard. Bump, bump.
Daddy DeVito Penguin Doppelganger, on your best day, you puke.
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right, my man.
Yo, listen to that guy, Matt. Dude, that is awful.
I know. He's unlistenable.
We're talking to Sam Amick. If LeBron thought that it was a bad idea to be playing, would you and I even be talking about the season being resumed?
No, I don't think so. If he was banging the drum to not play, you're 100% right. I don't think it would be happening.
And she even dropped in a kissing emoji for good measure. Dang, Frederick.
Damn.
Guess you don't impress your lady much anymore.
That don't impress me.
Keep shooting to us. Right now, you can't miss.
As I hit the jungle floor and scan the landscape, the clones begin to tremble fearfully and wet their board shorts, for they know it is I.
The labor negotiation was supposed to be the easy part. The hard part is actually playing a baseball season during a pandemic. I can't wait to see how badly they jack up the difficult part. You have to say to that, Rick.
Finally.
Jay Norvell is my guest.
You've been making me laugh in my car for 25 years. Your nickname, Vance Mack, it's the best nickname in sports radio. When I started listening to you, you were a young pimp, and now you're definitely an OG.
15 years later.
Oh, that's Larry Brown's guy, right?
That moment.
I got no crank stories for you.
Still. Right in my face.
Right in my face.
Get this baby cranking.
Happy 15. Tobias.
Sitting here in my bunker with Toby from Houston.
Talk to me when we get to 20.
Shout out to Toby in Houston.
Charles Robinson is joining us.
You just say, I want fries with no salt. It means they have to make your fries fresh right then. Then when you get to the window and they give you your fresh fries that they made with no salt, then you just ask for packets of salt. And now you have fresh
dude.
Fries.
Well done, Diego.
Oh, man, Diego's got to be tripping around that island like, yo, what up, son? What up, son? Who's your daddy?
Are you?
I am. Diego.
You are the father.
Of all of them. Chopping it up with Austin Hooper.
I remember talking to you on your show a couple years back, and it was just like, Jim, just all the work I put in the offseason that I don't put on Instagram, be able to be a part of that exclusive fraternity is just a testament to all the work I put in.
And you had a take about, I thought it was Dr. Beaudoin.
Dr. Boudreaux. Crank in their face.
So is it arrogance or ignorance? The answer, of course, is yes. Be a leader, moron.
Rub-a-donga.
Amy Trask.
I am like a teenage girl around her movie star crush. Not that I'm stalking you. I'm just that excited.
Stay tuned. This guy.
Ball with a ball.
I don't have
Stop it.
I don't have
Stop
it.
Stop it.
I don't have
Stop it.
It.
So you man, Jim, hit me up whenever you need me.
Juxtaposition.
We'll send you some Wolfpack gear.
Good night, huh, ladies.
And secondly, right before the show, he makes that tortured walk to the hot chocolate machine.
Do as I do, not as I... No, do as I say, not as I do.
Brad? Brad?
Good night now!
Aaron Jones joins me once again. Aaron, it's good to have you back. In fact, Aaron, you and I spoke back in January. Obviously, so much has happened in the world since then. How are you? How is your brother Alvin? How are your parents? How is life right now, Aaron?
Thank you for having me. Life is good. Everybody is safe. Everybody's doing good and good health. Happy to have everybody at home, all under one roof. Been working out with my brother, so decided to be working back out with him. But everybody's good, and thank you for asking. Hope all is well with you as well.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for asking. All is good with me, and it's good to have you back, and it's good to hear that everything is going so well. There's been a major, major change in your life, which I will get to in a minute, but I know you've been working out in El Paso. You mentioned your brother. What have your workouts been like?
They've been ramped up. I mean, my brother, he's always been there with me. He's always pushing me. So the last previous offseason, he had to go back to Baltimore a little bit early, so I get to have him for a full off season. He's just been pushing me. We got a jug machine and shooting the balls out of the jug to me. just really pushing me and getting back to how the ground was when we were little kids.
Packers running back Aaron Jones is joining us. That's got to be cool. So you've been going through an offseason, of course, of Zoom meetings. I'm curious about that. Like, are those good enough, or do you miss out on the chemistry and the bonds that form with in-person meetings?
You do miss out on the bonds that are in person. But, I mean, as far as learning everything and sitting everything down from a meeting aspect, I feel like that's really done well. I mean, the PowerPoints, the Zoom meetings, they really ran well. And they're just as educational as being there in the meeting.
Right, speaking of,
in person. So
I'm sorry.
But like, you are right, though. You do miss that chemistry in person.
Dude, sorry that I jumped in there. That was messy, man. Aaron Jones, my
guest. No, it's okay.
That's
sorry.
On me. Thanks. I appreciate you. Speaking of Zoom meetings, did I see that you were thinking about crashing some Zoom meetings that fans were having? Where did that idea come from, and what was that like?
It came from me. I mean, just, you know, during this time, we'd be at OTAs and different things, have open OTAs and get to interact with fans. Usually at Lambeau, we have fans standing outside the gate. You get to interact with them. So I was like, hey, how can I interact with some fans? And Zoom's pretty popular right now. So I was like, let me hop on some Zoom calls and see whose party I can hop on, and have people just shoot me links and just hop in random ones, talk to them, answer questions, and got to interact with the fans. So it was pretty cool. I'm going to definitely have to do it again.
Dude, that is so awesome. Like, what was the reaction when all of a sudden you just showed up?
People were like, oh, wow. And then, like, I was in there with some other fans, like other teams. Like, it would be like big groups, so it'd be majority Packers, and you'd have a couple other fans who are their friends, and they get to talking trash, and it was all fun though. It was it was really great reactions, and people were so thankful. So
good job.
I mean, that's what I do it for.
I think that's awesome. Aaron Jones is my guest. I mentioned the world has changed, but certainly your life has changed dramatically. Your son Aaron Jr. was born 2 months ago. How is he doing, and how is fatherhood treating you so far?
He's doing great. He's very healthy. He likes to eat and sleep. That's the only thing to do. But fatherhood's been great. It's crazy. It's a blessing. You get to see somebody grow every day. You get to teach them, and just the experiences that it brings.
Aaron, you wrote a really powerful piece for the Players Tribune about fatherhood and how much being a father has changed in the last few weeks alone. As an example, let's start with the moment your father held your son for the first time. What was that moment like?
It was special. I mean, generations. I mean, my dad was like, wow. And it was just a special moment. His grandson, and he knows that how hard I worked, and he sees the same for my son coming up, whether it be athletics or what he wants to do, a bright future, and he's going to help push towards that. So my dad's just very proud, and he's going to be there every step of the way as he was for me. And that's just like his son as well.
Now, you did a really good job of describing that, but I would imagine a moment like that is actually even impossible to put into words. But I think that a lot of people listening understand
really
exactly
was.
What
it
we're
was,
talking about here.
And,
like every father.
They weren't able to be there.
Right, right.
They weren't able to be there at the hospital. I actually was holding my girlfriend's hand, and on the other hand, I had two phones on FaceTime with her mom and my mom because of COVID and everything that's going on. I could only be one person in the hospital. So, but the first time, it was very special. Like you said, it's kind of hard to describe. I tried to the best way I could.
No, you did. You did a really good job, but it's impossible to really describe it accurately for what it is. Like, every father has a new perspective because now you have somebody else to worry about and somebody who depends on you for everything. But as you write, Aaron Jr. is, quote, an African-American child that I don't want to grow up in an America that's the way it is today, where the world is not on his side, end quote. What's it like when you have that realization and then you start to think about the conversations you're going to have with him when he is older?
I mean, I've already started to have him with him, even though he doesn't understand. But it's a real conversation, and hopefully it changes on just equality. But I'll let him know that just because of the color of your skin, you're going to have to work a little bit harder. But I also let him know it's not right, because you everybody eats the same, breathes the same, bleeds the same, so everybody should be treated the same.
Aaron, it's really interesting that you've already started those conversations with him. Why did you start so soon?
I mean, just because of what's going on right now in the world. He was born in a time where it's very, it's a very popular topic, and it's what's going on right now. So just let him know at a young age and continue to let him know, and so he can work hard and he understands what's going on in this world. And he's not being led down a path where he's like, he's clueless. He knows what he's doing.
Absolutely. Good for you. I like that. I like that a lot. You know, you write that your father used to tell you that an African-American man has to work a little bit harder, be a little bit nicer in order to be treated like he should be treated all the time, like a human being. What was it like for you to have those conversations and to hear that message from your father?
It was kind of tough. And I remember growing up at one point, I wanted locks in my hair. And my mom wouldn't let me because the stereotype was that that's the kind of thug, you know. And it's not that just because your hair is different, that's the way you express yourself, doesn't make you a thug or anything like that. So, but just conversations like that made you like realize how kind of far America is behind. But you know, it's not everybody in this world. You know, you have great people out there, and they come in every color.
Aaron Jones is my guest. We're covering a lot of ground. Aaron, you and I have talked in the past about your parents and their impact on you. We talked about their military service, and they came with you to Radio Row in Atlanta when we talked about a year and a half ago. Now that you're a father, do you see what your father did for you with new eyes? Do you maybe understand and appreciate him even more than you did?
Oh, yes, sir, I definitely do. I understand why he's there every step of the way, why he doesn't miss a game, why he doesn't miss anything. Because he spent so much time and invested in our lives and watching us grow, and now it's time for, like, it's his time to sit back and just smile and kind of reap the benefit of the hard work that he's done with us. So it's just kind of, now it's my turn to guide somebody through life.
Aaron Jones, my guest. I want to ask you one more thing before I talk to you about the Packers and let you go. But the NFL Twitter account retweeted your article in the Players Tribune, and again, this is a really powerful column. And it retweeted it, and one of your lines about the country, you said, quote, "My parents each served it for 30 years. They fought for it, and I know we can do better," end quote. Then somebody on Twitter responded, quote, "Pampered athletes lecturing everyone. The NFL takes in billions. Players rake in multi-millions and give very little back, but yeah, okay," end quote. So, Aaron, what was your reaction when you saw that, or when you hear people say that athletes should just stick to sports?
I was kind of taken back a little bit because my life has always been sports, but I wasn't always in the NFL. My parents aren't rich. They've always had to work for what they had. I remember growing up, moving to Virginia, we didn't even have a house to stay in. We were living in a hotel. My dad went out and bought $400 shoulder pads and helmets for me and my brother. And they're just a working class family. So now that I am in the NFL, I'm not a millionaire. I didn't get a big contract. I'm still on a rookie contract. It goes back before that. And I told the guy he's missing the bigger picture. I look past color. I mean, and I have good thing. I have the Packer Nation to support me. A fan tweeted back. But he doesn't look at color. Look at this picture, and it was a picture of me pushing an old lady through the airport. And he was like, "He's a good guy. He just wants better in America." And that's all I want. Just everybody to have a good heart.
Exactly. Aaron Jones is joining us. All right. So I mentioned your numbers last year. You had an enormous season last year. So when you start to think about the upcoming year, what kind of thoughts do you have? What does the next level look like for you personally?
I'm excited. I just want to help my team get to the Super Bowl. We were NFC championship, fell one game short. So I feel like it left a nasty taste in everybody's mouth, and we feel like we're right there. So doing whatever it takes to take that next step, whether it be I definitely want to step up in every statistical category, want to make the Pro Bowl, all of that stuff. But most importantly is my team, and we have one common goal, and that's to win the championship.
Aaron, I had the big dog, David Bakhtiari, on the show earlier this month, and he talked about how he feels even more comfortable in the offense after a year in it. Now that everybody's had a year with that offense, do you feel like he can be even more productive this year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're going through OTAs and Zoom meetings, and you know the stuff, and they're quizzing you on, you know the stuff, and you're understanding why you're doing it. You understand the offensive line calls and different things like that now. And as you were learning it in year one, you're kind of you're learning it and you're playing as you're going. And now you have a complete understanding of it. You feel like you can just go out there and flow.
Aaron, there have been some great, great backs with the Packers. You had one of the best single seasons a Packer back has ever had. I mean, you're coming off a monster year. And then the team drafts running back A.J. Dillon out of Boston College in the second round. I'm curious, what was your reaction to that?
I mean, I really didn't have a reaction. I usually just worry about myself. I mean, from coming in as a rookie, I was number three on the depth chart, and I really wasn't worried about anybody else. I was worried about myself. And that's just the way I still go about it, worry about myself. But I'm still going to be a great teammate and help my teammate, be there for him, help him run the playbook, everything. And I'm excited to have him there. And it's just going to up the competition in the room and elevate everybody's game.
Hey, listen, I don't think that's idle talk. I believe you when you say that. I really do. And I think it would be easy for you to be angry with the team for making that draft pick when you had the year that you had. But when you say that, hey, listen, it's competition, it's business, it's going to make the room better, it's going to pick everybody up and elevate everybody, I really do believe you when you say that. I think a lot of other guys in your position might feel threatened. They might be angry. They certainly wouldn't help the new guy. Why are you going the other way?
I mean, what is it? I mean, I'm there to help. I'm there to, if you can come in and help the team win, then so be it. But I mean, I know what I'm capable of, and I'm there for the betterment of the team. And I feel like that's being a bigger person. There's no need to go out there and hold a grudge against somebody. They didn't choose where they got drafted to.
Hear, hear, man. Packers running back, over 1,000 yards rushing, more than 1,500 yards from scrimmage, a team record 23 TDs in the regular season and playoffs combined. He is a new father. Aaron Jones, my guest. Aaron, great to get caught up. I know it's been a wild offseason for you and everybody listening, so really good to talk to you, Aaron. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and thank you for rocking with me since day one, since the rookie year, since young.
Good night now!